The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. What a show we have today. Oh, by the way, and the best price going, $3.99. Doesn't cost you a cent. Oh, what are we not talking about? We're talking about you will hear the following topics discussed. LeBron James and Joel Embiid. Who's the MVP? What about Kevin Durant? Because LeBron and Embiid are going against each other tonight, really. AD and Embiid, right? Going against each other tonight. Tom Brady, is this his most impressive run to the Super Bowl in his career? And so much more. We start with the battle of MVP candidates tonight. Embiid and LeBron. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Who is the MVP? Is it LeBron James, L.A.? Is it the aforementioned Joel Embiid, Philly? Or, what's up, New York? Is it KD? I'm going to get to KD last. Let me start by saying, the MVP in the regular season in basketball is a ridiculous award. It's a ridiculous award. There are 30 teams in the NBA. 16 make the postseason. Now, I didn't major in math, but according to my calculations, that is over 50% of the league makes the postseason. There is no such thing in no time or place where an MVP ever comes from a non-playoff team. Now, there is a finals MVP, I hear some people thinking, sitting in your car. Listen, smarty pants. Oh, what about the finals MVP? Shut up, nerd. That's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous point. Do you understand? There's a whole playoffs between the finals and the regular season. I'm not saying the MVP has to come from the championship-winning team every year, although you'd be surprised how often it should. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised. I'm saying that you're ignoring the bulk of the playoffs, the only real important season in the NBA, and it is basically a full season. It's a very long postseason. Of course, you should wait till the end to hand it out, and if you did, almost every year LeBron James would get it because he's the best player in basketball. I know now that he is still better than everyone else, right? Every couple of years, someone pops up their head. KD, Steph Curry, Kawhi, and then LeBron reminds everyone, no, I'm still the best. He's defended that title three times against those three guys, in my opinion. Those are the three guys. I'm like, wait, is that guy better than LeBron now? No, he's not. Giannis, too. No, he's not. Okay, so if the MVP goes to the best player in basketball, it's LeBron James. If you do it the way you ought to, which is wait till the end of the postseason, it's LeBron James. But that's not how it's done. It's a regular season award, right? So if the question is, who is the front runner at this moment for MVP? The answer is Joel Embiid. Look, I know LeBron James dropped 46-21 in the fourth quarter, in the second half, against Cleveland. Highly motivated. His first return to Ohio in a couple years. And I know LeBron's played 18 games. Joel Embiid's only played 14. However, they both have the best record in their respective conferences. So Joel Embiid's missing games has not led to his team not being the number one seed in his conference. But you know what it has done? It showed you what that team is without Embiid. And he's not. Ben Simmons is excellent. They got a good team. He ain't playing with AD. He ain't playing with a guy which John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers, ESPN LA, you know what I'm talking about, said on this show yesterday. And he's right. AD can guard five positions. I mentioned the man could practically guard the pick and roll by himself. His defense is ridiculous. And then offensively, he can bring the ball up if he has to. He can shoot from range. What can't AD do? He's going to go down in history, probably, given especially the team he's on now, is challenging Tim Duncan as the greatest power forward of all time. That's who LeBron's playing with. Embiid ain't got a guy like that on his team. He's got a nice team, but no one like that. And without Embiid, the Sixers will play a team, so like the Pistons, like a bad team, right? A team that they beat with him. They'll get blown out without him. They just did. They just got blown out without him. And then when you look, so like his value to his team is obvious. His defense, just eyeballing it, I'd say Embiid's been the best defender in the game this year so far. And offensively, you know, the reason I go to PER, it's not because it's a perfect stat, but when people talk about, well, he has this many points and this many rebounds, this many assists, and look at his free throw percentage, and PER sort of takes all that into account. What's his scoring efficiency, his offensive efficiency? Number one in the league, way above LeBron, is Embiid. And then defensively, he's certainly one of the best, if not the best. So what else is there, offense and defense? And in terms of value to his team, they can't beat anybody. They get blown out by everybody without Embiid. Bad teams blow them out without Embiid. LeBron James is the best player in basketball. He proved it again most recently in this last playoff run. But if we're just talking about the way people vote on MVP right now, it's Embiid. Now, let me say this also. Kevin Durant's right there. And I would actually put him ahead of LeBron in that race right now. We're just talking about a regular season race. In the last week or so, have you looked what Embiid and Durant are doing? It's insane. And by the way, the thing about KD is a player who, no matter what the construction of the team, in any era, KD would make any team ever assembled better. He doesn't need the ball, but he can kill you with it. He can play defense really at an elite level on multiple positions. He's become an excellent passer. He can score from all three levels at one of the most elite rates of all time. And he's good for team chemistry. In fact, as long as there's not a hard-headed teammate who makes it hard, you know, unnecessarily, KD, basically, what does he need? He's one of the best ever without the ball. He don't need to run plays for the guy. That's what it is right now. It's Embiid, KD, and LeBron. And if I had to give out an MVP at this moment, regular season MVP, that would be my order. LeBron, of course, is now MVP favorite at some sports books. Look, he's the biggest name on the most glamorous team with the best record. And he's playing great. No two ways about it. Westgate Las Vegas Superbook was the first operator to make James the favorite. 4-1 odds on Monday. So he's still the underdog, but that's 4-1 against the entire field. You know, meantime, well, let me say this. The Lakers and the Sixers play each other tonight. And not to oversimplify things, because the Lakers are better than the Sixers, but Embiid's playing. He ain't on the injury report. They should both teams be fully squad up. I cannot wait for that matchup. The best in the West versus the best in the East. Two of the top three MVP candidates in the league playing each other. And by the way, AD also. Like, the fact that when you talk about the best combinations in the history of basketball, the one that jumps to mind, like, you know, okay, Jordan and Pippen. But it would have been Jordan and anyone you put with him who's an all-star. Jordan and Pippen is the most unbeatable, right? But Pippen, as great as he was, really was like the third best player in the league in retrospect. And people didn't even realize he was actually third at the time. They had him lower than that. But looking back at it, there was Jordan, there was Hakeem, and then Pippen was better than everyone else. You'd rather have had Pippen on your team than ever. And I know I'm talking about David Robinson and Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley. Looking back at it, you'd rather have Pippen. And without Jordan even the next year, the Knicks got a kind of good, a lucky call to get by the Bulls, or else the Bulls, I think, probably would have been in the finals, and who knows what would have happened then. The point is, Pippen was never considered, that's the MVP of the league. So it's like Jordan's greatness is really heavily weighing that duo. When I think of the best ever where both parts of the tandem were like as good as can be, I think of Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe, and then Magic and Kareem, when Kareem still had something and Magic started to enter his prime. LeBron and AD is right there. With any combination, you could argue it's the two best players in the league. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
How do you not go for it on fourth and goal with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback?
Anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right?
What does this mean for Aaron Rodgers moving forward?
So let me tell you something. A friend of mine called me the other day and said, hey, Max, was that the worst coaching decision ever that LaFleur made? he took the ball out of the best player in the game's hands and put it in the that was going to help him win, and put it in the hands of the best of the greatest player ever to try to beat him. And I said, well, that's like a professional take. Wait a minute, you're an amateur. That's a pro take. Is that yours? He said, no, I heard it on Barton Hahn. I said, so Alan Hahn said that? Yeah, he did. So I want to play you now what Alan Hahn said on Barton Hahn a couple days ago. I want you to hear it from the horse's mouth about the decision Matt LaFleur made in the NFC Championship game.
It never feels like the right move when you take the ball out of your best player's hands. Down three in the NBA and you have Steph Curry on your team, yes, Steph Curry is going to shoot the three. Like, that's just how you do it. I will live with this because I sleep better at night because I know, and that's what I would have said. See, Matt LaFleur, this is how you win the press conference.
Yep.
You go for it on fourth down, and if you don't get it,
the defense gets the ball, stop them.
They have the ball.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop this sound. Wait a minute. Here's the problem I have right now. I want to credit Alan Hahn with saying it, but it seems to me my friend listened to a bunch of the show and then kind of synthesized that take in a kind of pithy way. So I'd like to bring Alan Hahn on right now. Raj, go get Alan Hahn. Tell him to call. We need to have Alan Hahn come in because I don't want to take credit for it. I want him to. There he is. Alan Hahn, what's going on, Alan? How are you?
I'll tell you what, before we get to this, so I'm preparing for my show on Friday on MSG, the pregame of the Knicks, and I'll do awards, right, for the first quarter of the season. And the producer was talking to me. He's like, all right, so who do you got for MVP? I'm like, LeBron's doing is just amazing, so let's go LeBron. And then I listened to your open, and I'm like, scratching it, literally writing right here, down on my notebook, Joel Embiid. Because you made me look closer to his numbers, and it's like, oh, yeah. You made a great case for Joel Embiid, my work.
Listen, LeBron played four more games, and that means more value. But I think in this case, since Embiid's team has the best record in the conference, hasn't really hurt the Sixers. And so then you can actually see what they are without him, which is like the worst team in basketball. But, Alan, I need you to say right now. See, this is what my friend told me that you said, more or less. And I like it like this, but I don't want to be the one to say it because this is your idea. You took the ball out of the best player in the game's hands, the guy who was trying to win it for you, and you handed it to the greatest player of all time to try to beat you? How did you put that on the show? They've not been able to find the right sound. I need you to say it.
Well, that's essentially what I said. So your game plan was, we're going to take the ball out of the best player in the world's hands, and we're going to just take some points here, and we're going to give the ball to the greatest player in the history of the game and hope we'll get it back.
Right.
And what Bart said was, he's Mariano Rivera. I said, yeah, he's one of the great closers with the lead, final drive. He never gives it back to you.
Right.
So that was a terrible decision. And then I added, and if you're LaFleur, you just in the press conference, somebody says, well, why'd you go for it on fourth down? Because I have Aaron Rodgers. That's why I did it. Because I have Aaron Rodgers and they have Tom Brady. So I had to score there. That's as simple as that. I didn't understand that move. It makes
Alan,
no sense.
It's common. Like, sometimes people overrate common sense and the analytics are counterintuitive and you should listen to them. Right. And I don't care about what, like, too many coaches are cowards. They worry too much about the press conference. To hell with what we think. You do what you think you need to do. But sometimes it is common sense. You know, like, and look, I understand what LaFleur is saying. He said, if you listen closely, we had three downs, we got 0 yards.
Yeah.
And Aaron choked. There was daylight between him and the end zone. You know, like, at worst case,
he'd have been tackled
on the one.
You say that. That told me he forced that in on third down because that told me he already knew I don't have a fourth down. Because if he had a fourth down and he knew it, you run for a few more yards, so
now
you have more options.
Alan, you 100%. Don't think – I think if he gets tackled on the one, and maybe he punches it in, maybe it's on the one – they're going to go for it, don't you think?
But that's what I just feel like in his head, he had to think, I've got to get six because I'm not getting another shot at this. Why would you force that ball in there when you had daylight and it was JPP chasing you down? Like, that's what you had. And he might not have gotten there. He might not have gotten to the pylon. But we saw him juke Leonard Floyd a week ago. We saw him do that to him. So we know he's still got it in his 37-year-old legs. He, in his mind, said, I got to get six and let me try to force this pass in there. Because if he knew he had one more play, come on. We've seen this guy play his whole life. He would have tried to get a few yards knowing, let me get a little bit closer.
I want to geek out with someone about this, but I haven't been able to find the person. Maybe you're the guy, Alan.
I'm your geek.
I understand. Tom Brady's always going to get the call at the end of the game, too, right? He throws the interception to end the AFC Championship game a couple years ago against Mahomes, and it's a pre-snap penalty. Mahomes never touches the ball. Patriots go to the Super Bowl, which they win. In this case, LaFleur's reasoning almost got proved right because they did stop the Bucks, but there was a ticky-tack. I don't know if it was a catchable ball, a ticky-tack PI call, but here's what I want to geek out about. If you're going to call that, which you shouldn't, fine, but you did, then how do you let Wirfs hold on that same play? I had Jeff Schwartz tweet at me, the former Giants offensive lineman, whose brother plays on the Chiefs line, Mitch Schwartz. I had him tweet at me.
He's great on Twitter, by the
way. Yeah, he's great. I had him tweet at me, that it's in the rule book. You know, if you get underneath the offensive guard, then it's not a hold. Everyone gets this wrong on Twitter. But if you watch that play, that's not what happened. If you watch that play, Wirfs' man beat him. He beat him. His whole body was like, Wirfs hooked him with his arm, wrote him the whole play. Alan, I'm telling you, it was textbook holding. My issue is this. If you're going to call the PI, why didn't you call the hold? So LaFleur, in a way, Alan, I'm with you. It's a terrible call. It's a blunder, straight out. But he's not wrong. If the game was called properly, even, they stopped them.
But that's what the analytics do to you, though, Max, is they give you the probability. And then there's always that human element that ruins the analytic. You're right. But you, again, the human element was I took the ball away from my best player, hoping to get it back. And the numbers, that's why you don't play Stratomatic. And fans don't show up to play Stratomatic and cheer it on. Because otherwise, yeah, the numbers would have gotten you the ball back. But the human element doesn't.
Well, Alan, hold on, wait. I'll say this. The human element doesn't in that case because you have to take the situation into account.
Well, what's the analytic for a referee not making a call?
Right.
There's no analytic for it. So you
That's
can't
what I'm saying.
That. That's what I mean. The math is incomplete.
Tom Brady seems to get calls late in games, right? That's true. But
that's the analytic you should have added. It's Tom Brady, and he always gets the call 100%
of
the time.
Alan Hahn, host of Bart and Hahn on the Goodyear Hotline right now, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. And, of course, you can hear Bart and Hahn here on ESPN Radio. Alan, but when people down the analytics just straight up, the fact of the matter is for every time you say, oh, look, the human element actually changed the equation. That is true. The analytics don't mean it's foolproof. It means more often than not it works. So if it's 100% of the time and the analytics say it's 55-45, a lot of the time they're going to be wrong. But the point is more often they're going to be right. In this case, I agree with you. When you look at the circumstance, but what about LaFleur saying Rodgers got 0 yards on 3 downs? Because, Alan, that's not the first time. At the end of the first half, he had 3 downs and got 0 yards. They kicked the field goal.
Right.
That had them chasing those 4 points. They went for the 2-point conversion, missed that. That's 5 points they left on the field. And what did they lose by? 5 points. So maybe LaFleur actually didn't have faith in Rodgers in that moment.
Oh, well, it's not just clear, it's crystal clear that he showed a lack of faith in his quarterback. And that's why, again, as the coach, you're trying to make the decision that's best for the team. As fans watching, we're just looking at the guy with the cape on his shoulders that we just know to be a bad man. Like, that's what we know. That's Aaron Rodgers. He never misses. You know, it's all the time when you watch certain plays in certain moments. I go back to, you know, you kind of made light reference to the Knicks in the 90s, so I'll do it. Patrick Ewing in 95 missing a finger roll.
Yep.
Like, you go to Patrick Ewing all the time for that finger roll. All the time.
Right.
He just missed it that time.
And by the way, the whole thing where he should have dunked, he was a little too far away at his age to dunk.
Rim.
He
wouldn't
have
right
reached
about
it.
That. But still, like, so I just always feel like I would rather lose because my best player couldn't make the play than take the ball out of his hands because I don't believe he can.
And also,
but that's not what a coach thinks.
Given the time it left in the game. You know,
just over 2 minutes.
I think that was just a blunder. That said, Alan, Tom Brady, who I thought was going to fall off the cliff years ago, the reason I did, because he was 40 years old, and the only player ever worth a damn who was in the Hall of Fame who at the quarterback position who was still really good at 41 was Warren Moon, and he was done after that. Mm-hmm. So Brady, since I made that prediction, has had a full Hall of Fame career. In other words, if a player just came out and did what he did since I made the prediction and then retired, you put him in the Hall of Fame first ballot. 4 Super Bowls, an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP. He might win his third one. Who knows? So he's been amazing. But this year in particular, Alan, he beat the Washington defense on the road. Okay, it's Washington, but a good defense.
No, that defense is nasty, yeah.
He beat Drew Brees. Drew Brees, who had beaten him twice in the regular season in his division.
In his house.
And then went to Lambeau and beat the guy who's going to win MVP, Aaron Rodgers. And both times, Drew Brees had a tie game in the fourth quarter. Okay, now it's crunch time. Who comes through with the money on the line? Brady. Brees had everything to play for. Last game of his career. And Aaron Rodgers, same thing, close game, fourth quarter. He doesn't come through. Brady does. I think this is the best the most impressive season he's ever had. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, because let's not forget, they were 7-5. Let's remember that. Let's remember that there were times where this offense looked like it's not quite right. Remember Bruce Arians calling out Brady early in the season.
Yep.
Remember that happened too, which we never saw before. So there was a lot about this season that made you wonder, did he make the right decision? And then Antonio Brown comes in. Then Mike Evans' injury. You know, did they run the ball? Now they stop running the ball. The too much, no risk it, no biscuit. Too much throwing down the field. A lot of question marks. But I'll tell you what. How did Brady win in New England? Did he win because he had tons of weapons and the offense was just the best in the league? Or did he win because the defense was great?
Depends on the year.
Well, it's fair, but for the most part, their defenses were usually pretty strong, especially early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Bowles and what he's done with that defense and how well that defense has played gets overshadowed by what Tom Brady's been able to do. But you got to admit, you just talked about quarterbacks that he beat. He was never on the field when those quarterbacks were out there. The defense was. And they've done a great job against some of the best quarterbacks, and now they got to do it just one more time against a quarterback who doesn't have his bookend tackles right now. That's a huge story going into the Super Bowl.
Alan Hahn of Barton Hahn, you can hear him right before me here on ESPN Radio. Alan, thank you very much for coming on. And Rod, you have to clip that soundbite now so I don't have to paraphrase him. We can just run the soundbite. There you go. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it, brother.
You got it.
Alan Hahn, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Everyone's talking about Deshaun Watson to the Jets. As a Giants fan, I need to say something. Coming right up, the best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people could be a challenge. When it comes to hiring, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team, and fast. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Come on, Giants, step up to the table. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
You know, the question is, how far is Deshaun Watson willing to take this? He has core issues with ownership that might not be repairable.
When you consider who Watson is, what he is, and where he is in his career, this will be the biggest trade in NFL history.
Probably have to be the Jets or Miami.
I would love to see him in a Bears uniform.
I like San Francisco.
A couple sleeper teams I heard of are like Carolina and then Washington.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Hey, New York, you remember 30 years ago today? You know what that was? Remember Super Bowl 25? There was only 1 week between the championship games and the Super Bowl. So this is the anniversary. Remember what Super Bowl 25 was? I know New Yorkers do. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Check out Marvel Studios' WandaVision original series, now streaming only on Disney+. Okay, let me start by playing you something that Mel Kiper said this morning on ESPN Radio, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Here's Mel Kiper talking about the Jets.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Jets, the Deshaun Watson talk for Miami or the Jets, if you can make that move and give up that some of that draft capital and get a franchise, defined franchise quarterback, not one who may be, but one who already is, and you're in a division with Josh Allen, that for Miami or the Jets would make a lot of sense. And obviously Deshaun is better than Sam Darnold. So I get the reason why the Jets, I certainly understand why Miami would do that. I would do that. But if you can't, if Deshaun Watson remains in Houston or goes somewhere else, if I'm the Jets, I'm sticking with Sam Darnold. I'm not drafting Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. And there's no reason to get off Sam Darnold and say, we're going to move away. Why? He'd had nothing with the Jets to work with, and he has showed flashes of at times of being a really good quarterback in this league.
Okay, people are talking about the Jets and Miami as the most likely teams to trade for Deshaun Watson. And in fact, Deshaun Watson apparently lists them as his two preferred destinations. I think he's looking at realistically what could get done. As a Giants fan, I'm offended. I'm offended. This is the issue with Gettleman. Not only, look, he's had 3 years. Oh, but we're competing for the playoffs with our quarterback. First of all, he can't say the word quarterback. Quarterback. It's quarterback. I never heard of a quarterback until this Boston double agent took over the Giants. I love Saquon Barkley. You don't draft a running back second overall. I mean, obviously not. Name me a Super Bowl champion in the last 20-something years who has. There's a reason for that. And I love Barkley. He's my favorite player. But still, trying to win a Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson is available for trade, everybody. Deshaun Watson. The Giants have the 11th pick in the draft. They also are drafting high up, therefore, in the second round. But in the first 107 picks, they have four picks. Well, it's going to take multiple firsts. Fine. Take them. I want Deshaun Watson. And by the way, the issue with the Giants, and the reason a lot of people are not mentioning them, is because Daniel Jones doesn't have any trade value. That should tell you everything you need to know. He doesn't have trade value. Do you understand? And if he does, great, use it, trade him. Daniel Jones had a promising rookie season. He didn't develop in his second year. Partly that's what he did have and didn't have around him. Partly it's because he has a chance to be a solid quarterback. Maybe even above average. Is that what we're looking for, Giants fans? Or do you want Deshaun freaking Watson? Deshaun Watson has a chance to be one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived. He's already elite. He's totally elite. I don't even remember what Mike Greenberg has this on his Twitter. Go look up Mike Greenberg's Twitter. Greeny has a whole thing on Watson, his yards per attempt and the whole thing. The numbers he put up this year. If you have a chance to get Deshaun Watson, or do you want the Giants to trudge along? No, we're pointed in the right direction. This is what we've always done. And just when it doesn't look good, we get a little lucky and win a Super Bowl eventually in 10 years. Or do you want to be in this thing every year? You put a decent team around Deshaun Watson, which the Texans didn't do this year. You're in the running every year. He's a superstar. The only player in the league where I could look at him and say, I'm starting a franchise. I want him over Deshaun Watson is Mahomes. It ain't Lamar Jackson. And it ain't Josh Allen. Respect to both those guys, but Deshaun Watson's better than those guys. Better in college, better in the pros. It ain't Russell Wilson, especially based on age and everything, and not Aaron Rodgers. Is Rodgers better than Deshaun right now? Yes, he is. A little better than Deshaun right now. Rodgers is 37 years old. So who are you taking over Deshaun? Mahomes. Mahomes better than everybody. Otherwise, you ain't taking anybody over Deshaun Watson. You have a chance to get the guy you build around over everyone in the NFL other than Mahomes, who's not available. And you said, no, we already got our guy? Well, the Giants can't give up first-round picks forever. Really? Let me tell you. I have it in front of me. Let's talk about it. First-round pick, Andrew Thomas. You know how many tackles were available in the draft this year? And how many are balling? The Giants took Andrew Thomas. DeAndre Baker, the year before. Dexter Lawrence, the year before. Daniel Jones, before that, Saquon Barkley, second overall. Remember Eli Apple with the 10th pick in the draft? Remember Eric Flowers with the 9th pick in the draft? I know this predates Gettleman, but even Gettleman's picks. The bottom line is, what do the Giants need? First of all, they're going to be good enough not to be picking 1, 2, or 3, right? They're going to be picking a little past that. What do you think the Giants are going to turn those draft picks into? In the next 3 years, this year and the next two, anything resembling Deshaun Watson? As a Giants fan, I demand that this team get in on this Deshaun Watson business. You have a chance to have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback. Or sorry, let me say it in a way Gettleman can understand. Quarterback. You do it. Have a little imagination. By the way, Daniel Jones had a four-year, his rookie deal is 4 years, over $25 million. $16 million signing bonus, average salary of $6 million a year. By next year, they're going to have to make a decision on Daniel Jones. And he ain't some kind of like max contract type player, you know? Today is the 30th anniversary of the Giants' 20-19 victory over the Bills in Super Bowl 25. The only Super Bowl that had a final margin of fewer than 3 points, Norwood's missed field goal. Until I saw the last two against the Patriots, which were even more thrilling. I thought Super Bowl 25 was going to be the highlight of my life. You know, I have three children, and I've had some career successes. I've done some things in my life. I think the emotional highlight of my life was Super Bowl 25 until Eli ruined the 07 Patriots perfect season. And then later in 2011, ran it back. Just the thought of the little kid in Boston who'd heard about Brady winning, but he hadn't followed the NFL yet. Now he's following the NFL, and Tom Brady's going to win. And Eli did it. And then he did it again 4 years later. The kid's like went from middle school. He's in high school now. And he watched it again. And just the thought of that tear running down his cheek, I'd like to lick it off his face like Eric Cartman in South Park did to Scott Tenorman. Oh, thank you, Eli Manning. Anyway, that was Super Bowl 25 against the Bills. The Giants were a little past their best, you know, from Super Bowl 21. The Giants seemed to win a Super Bowl 4 years later, win it again, and then not win a Super Bowl again for 20 years. I would like to avoid that. It's been 10 already. Go make a Deshaun Watson trade, Gettleman. Just offer them more than they'll get from the Jets or the Dolphins. By the way, should Kurt Schilling remove himself from the Hall of Fame ballot? No doubt coming up for do-it-yourself projects. You know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now their mobile app can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, just snap a picture of something, and it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And their product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app, download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot, how doers get more done, no doubt, next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN apps, ESPN app. Not ESPN at, Raj, that would be ridiculous. The ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80 and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Would Matt Stafford be a good fit in San Francisco? I'm going to get into that in a second. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right. Shoot, Raj, let's go.
Kurt Schilling should indeed remove himself from future Hall of Fame ballots after falling short yet again.
No doubt. I mean, it's up to him. Look, Kurt Schilling is every public pronouncement he makes. He sounds like an idiot, you know. And by the way, I've interviewed him in his home, and his family and his wife were very nice and seemed very nice. And but he's either got a rotten core or he's an idiot because he's said things that are just unconscionable, including defending the treasonous, treacherous traitors who violently staged an insurrection at our nation's capital in the Capitol building, right? He should be disqualified from public life. However, that's got nothing to do with him playing baseball. Kurt Schilling was a Hall of Famer. He says he doesn't think he's a Hall of Famer. He's wrong. He was a Hall of Famer. He was a borderline Hall of Famer regular season, I agree. But then what are you going to throw out the postseason? He's one of the greatest clutch pitchers of all time. I'm going to get into it later in the show and should obviously be in the Hall of Fame. He said he'll let the Veterans Committee put him in if they want to put him in. And I respect that. His person. And by the way, in terms of, well, personal character counts in the Hall of Fame. Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who drew the color line, the commissioner of baseball, is in the Hall of Fame. Don't tell me about character in the Hall of Fame. Go ahead, Raj.
All right, hey, it's simply too late for Aaron Rodgers to downplay the fuse he deliberately lit.
Nah, son. Nah. I don't know that if he deliberately lit anything. I think Aaron Rodgers, one of the reasons Favre is more beloved, I think, around football than Rodgers, even though Rodgers was better than Favre, is Favre is plain-spoken. And Rodgers is introspective and cerebral and sometimes counterintuitively, it makes him less of a communicator. I don't think he has multiple agendas here. I think he just spoke when asked the question and then tried to clarify. And I think also, as Favre predicted, when Rodgers calmed down, he realized Green Bay ain't going to let him go anywhere. And meantime, mm-hmm. there aren't that many better positions for him. He almost made the Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Not stuck there. Hey, remember John Witherspoon's? He was the father on Friday.
Yeah.
The Wayne's Brothers. He was in the Fresh
great.
Prince.
He was great.
The Tracy Morgan Show. It's his birthday. Happy birthday.
When did he pass?
79. He passed in 2019, so a couple years ago.
Right. Oh,
but he would have been 79 today. Hey, John Witherspoon is in your top five of TV/movie dads.
Oh, I'd have to count that up. But I would say off the top of my head, yep, I'm going to say yes. Underrated. But I know he played the dad, but he's really more like an uncle. he was so great in Friday. Witherspoon was great. It's a shame that he passed.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Hey, all right,
no
doubt. Let's get back to the grid. Matt Stafford would be a good fit in San Francisco.
No doubt. I'd love to see what a really creative play caller and designer of plays generally, an offensive coordinator turned head coach, could do with Stafford. I think Stafford works in San Francisco. I think he works in New England. Love to see, Stafford's answers the question. A guy with top five arm talent his whole career, who's put up excellent numbers at times, but hasn't been a winner. How much of that is him? How much of that is circumstance? And I think going to either San Francisco or New England will answer that question. I think that given a really good offensive mind and weapons around him, Stafford's going to be a whole lot of. I think he's going to be a problem. But, you know, I don't know till I see it, so I'd love to see it. So there you have it. That's no doubt.
Right.
I went through every single
job,
one,
Max.
Like a champion, Raj. Sometimes I only get to two or three because I love the sound of my own voice. But today, every single one. What do I win? I should get some prize.
I don't know, but I can't wait to hear the rest of what you have to say on Curt Schilling. Maybe we'll do that in Last Take today.
We're going to do it in Last Take today. Not only Schilling, but Bonds and Clemens and Sosa and McGuire. Listen, Hall of Fame voting isn't hard. They should just make me in charge. It's quite easy. More whispers about Goff in L.A., huh? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.